greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official Facebook Football Addicts community. My name is William and joining me again is Bakes. How's things, buddy?
Mate, I'm well. How are you? It's another week of EPL and another week of carnage with EPL favourite Sanchez, Alexis Sanchez, falling foul of the flogging he has endured for Arsenal and Chile, picking up a torn hammy, it looks like. So I guess today we'll probably pretty much focus on spending some time on him because he does represent a big chunk of your budget to be sitting on the bench injured.
Yeah, it looks like it's at least 3 weeks. I think Wenger came out today or yesterday and stated that he'd be back for game week 17, so that's 2 or 3 game weeks. So yeah, you can't have that much cash. He's sitting on your bench, so you'll have to get rid of him. We'll just quickly talk about our game weeks. Bakes has a little story to tell, I think.
Yeah, mate. So basically, I got 59. So side average was 51. So that's the good news. The bad news is I'm still faced with a sea of red on online competitions, and I've slipped into 600,000. Just about exactly. So slid again after a couple of decent weeks. The okay performers were Ozil, Vardy, and then to a lesser extent, Lukaku, Coleman, Dyer and Mane, and the rest of them blanked. You know, unfortunately, I sold KDB.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was what, 19 in the end, I think, with his bonus point. Sat on him for about a month. He did absolutely zero. Tossed up whether to ditch him or Sanchez. Ended up going De Bruyne, and Sanchez has picked up an injury. Oh, God, it's just a disaster. I'm thinking what I should do is actually tell our listeners what I'm doing so they can avoid it. I should tell them who I'm making captain so they can avoid that, and who I'm bringing into my team so they can avoid them like the plague. Because I'm having a mare.
Who are you captaining this week, out of curiosity?
I am captaining Mane.
Oh, no, I am too. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I reckon he's a good shout.
Mate, Mane, okay, so while we're here, I know it's a little bit of a distraction, but the last, you know, these two teams, Mane scored the quickest triple, what do you call it, three goals in EPL history. And I think the average last 5 games that these teams have played has averaged 5.5 goals.
Really?
I think Southampton Southampton will be spewing about the midweek flogging they got from Liverpool. And I'm happy to spend about an hour on that game if you want. But I think the Southampton will be out to destroy Aston Villa, and Aston Villa are shipping goals. I think they averaged 3.5 goals conceded over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
Mane's going to be in the mix, I think.
Yeah, their turnstiles, they're just, I'm fingers crossed, Southampton put a few away. I mean, Southampton, they played pretty well against City, I thought. I don't think, the 3-1 score probably did reflect the general dynamic of the match. But I think Southampton played well, and I think Mane played well. His assist was really nice for the Shane Long goal. And he looked very lively, playing really direct, running at defenders. Yeah, I think he's going to be up for it this weekend. So very risky. It's a huge punt. I mean, you've got players like, highly owned players like Ozil, who will probably be the most captained player. You've got players like Lukaku, who's highly owned. He will have a fair few people captaining him because they're playing Palace. It's a huge risk. I think, if you want to sort of quickly move up the rankings, Mane's a good pick. So, onto my game week, I got another red as well. It was a bit annoying. I sort of feel my team starting to take shape a bit, I guess. Ozil killed me again, so he has to come in for me. And, he was potentially going to take the captaincy. I kept KDB. So I thought it was going to pay off. It's two red arrows in a row now after playing with some safe captain choices. As I said before, I'm probably going to take a punt on Mane. He looked really good against City. He's at 8% ownership, so he's definitely a differential. He's playing Aston Villa. So I do think he's a really good shout as a captain choice. It probably will be suicide. Like he probably will get nothing, and Ozil will score and get 5 assists or something, and that'd be like me, you know, back down to sort of stage one again. So
so can I ask? Like, I've got Lukaku. He is an obvious captain choice. He's owned by 45%, I believe, of the EPL fantasy managers. Mane, as you said, is owned by 8%. I'm not travelling that well, but I'm still very much in the leagues that matter to me, obviously work and friends. I'm up there or thereabouts, probably like third or fourth.
Yeah.
The people above me do have Lukaku. They'll be captaining Lukaku. This is a big gamble. It's either going to make me charge up the leaderboard or charge down the leaderboard, because I think Lukaku will score. Am I crazy?
Who... Lukaku's playing Palace. Is it away or at home? Because Palace...
It's at home.
It's at home. Yeah, because that's right. Palace, I think the sort of general narrative goes is that Palace defend better away at home because they play in the counter-attack or something like that. I'd have to look at, like, I don't know, go back and do some research and stuff, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. So Lukaku's a pretty good captain choice. But, yeah, I think Mane's worth the risk. I think he's worth the risk. All right, so in this episode, we're going to look at some of the high-scoring midfielders from Game Week 14 and some of the other potential replacements for the injured Sanchez. So it's looking like Sanchez is definitely out for a few weeks. So yeah, let's have a look at... So we've got four high-scoring midfielders. The first one's KDB. So yeah, 16 points, I think. Might be 19 points, I can't remember. But yeah, he... Punishing the unfaithful, I think, is a good headline for this one. So
I've written down 3 words, and they were fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, so it would have been horrible.
Damaging, yeah. 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 bonus points, vintage. KDB, he was doing this before I got him in. He's doing it after I've shelved him. He's a class direct player. I feel sick, really.
I would have felt sick. So yeah, I can understand why you probably get rid of him. Like he was boasting little to no shot threat. But saying that, he's very creative and Ozil type player. Actually, well, I can see him being a Hazard type player. I think the points will trickle in, and occasionally he will have a little drought. So, but in terms of assists, he was definitely due. And yeah, he's definitely one to consider if you already have Ozil and you need to get rid of Sanchez. So, are you going to get him back in, or are you going to stay stubborn?
No, I've actually done my trade.
Oh, yeah?
Again, I moved early when I saw Sanchez grab his hammy. He went into that game... I mean, Wenger's an idiot, really. He went into that game with a hamstring strain. It was all over the press that he'd done something. He got flogged again, and now he's really done it. So as soon as I saw that he was injured, I had to get rid of him because already he's gone down 0.2 or 0.3. He could go down 0.3 in just tomorrow, a week.
Yeah.
So I know people are just sort of looking at it today and they're going, oh, my God, he's only 11.1. He was 11.4 when I got rid of him. And I bought in my man crush, David Silva.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So, yeah, he should be fit. He should be playing. Yeah. Cool. All right. So the next player is sort of... I guess an under-the-radar pick, but not really. Like, we all know about this fella. They've got Yannick Bolasie at 15 points. I've liked Bolasie for a while. He's in my real dream team. He's been in my real dream team for a while, and he's done very well. I definitely wish I had him in my FBL team. I mean, he is inconsistent, but he has the potential to explode, and he definitely did on the weekend. So he's interesting. He's the 7th best midfielder in terms of expected goals, so he's always going to be around with the goal threat. And he's also on song with his expected goals. So he's playing sustainably. So it's not like he's been overperforming. He's been performing, you know, where he should be performing. So against Newcastle, he played in the middle. So Pardew shifted him in from the wing. And I would say there's a very, very good chance he's going to keep Pardew or keep that formation, and he'll play in that position next game week. If I wasn't so scared of Ozil's ownership, I probably would be getting Bolasie in. So his ownership's at 4.6%, so he's still a really good differential. And well done to those people who already have him, I think.
Yeah, see, I think the thing that's going to help Bolasie is the fact that Connor Wickham is now fit.
Yeah.
I think I think really Crystal Palace have been absolutely lost playing Gale up front. They need a real target man because they've got a lot of speed. They've got a lot of players that are going to cause a lot of problems.
Mm.
But what they really need is that target man that causes defence, you know, some headaches in the air and can hold up play. And Dwight Gale's not really... They're just not the same team with Dwight Gale. They've tried Bolasie up front. They've tried Sacco up front as well.
Yeah.
Just doesn't work. They look toothless. But when you get a big unit up there like Connor Wickham throwing himself around, then you've got guys like Zaha, Bolasie, Sacco, all running from angles and running out wide. They just look like a different team. And Bolasie inevitably is the guy that is going to benefit the most.
Mm.
He's a fantastic player. But Connor Wickham is the secret, I think, to Bolasie's FPL points.
Oh, that's good insight. Yeah, I didn't sort of see that. Yeah, he got 2 assists as well. So almost, and that's his second game back from injury, I'm pretty sure. So he certainly brings that creative dynamic to the final third. Interesting. All right, so move on to Ross Barkley. So he got his goal and assist. So again, he scored another jammy goal sort of in that broken play in the box. So the ball, it was in a bit of a pinball state. So and he was on the end of it again. So, yep, he's definitely gathering steam. He's got good... There's good FPL players backing him. A lot of FPL players that I know that I respect are backing him. For me, I'm not so sure. I mean, you might disagree, Bakes. In this price racket, it's really between Bolasie and Barkley, and I prefer Bolasie personally. I still think double Everton might be a bit overkill. I still don't trust Everton. I think over the month of November, Everton's expected goals for a whole ranks 8th in the league. I think doubling might be a bit overkill because of this. Barkley's expected goals is almost identical to Bolasie. I think getting Bolasie's differential to Barkley could be a shrewd move. Barkley's ownership's very high, Bolasie's is very low. I actually, pretty interesting, I have both these players in my real dream team, as well as Lukaku. So I'm performing very, very well in, I think it's the Virtual Sports real dream team. I'm coming 43rd overall, I think.
And how many?
6,000 or 7,000 or something.
Jesus.
So the winner of that game gets, I think, 2 tickets to England to watch a couple of games, so... That'd be nice if I could. But I'm burning through trades. You start the game with like 30 something trades, and you get 2 trades a week, but you can run out of those trades towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
It's like AFL.
It's like the footy ones. But yeah, I'm burning through trades, so I've sort
can't,
of,
can't help yourself. It's a difficult model. It's very good though.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really hands on. Much more hands on than the FPL. So,
yeah, FPL's kind of set and forget.
Yeah, it can be, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Back to Barkley, though.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling they're shitty little goals. Like, he's just Johnny on the spot, isn't he? Everything's just falling to his feet and he's banging them in. The thing is, though, okay, so the interesting thing is that they're all goals in the box, which is one of the criticisms we had about him was that he was shooting from halfway, Coutinho-like.
Mm.
Now, both Coutinho and Barkley have noticeably got further advanced. So Barkley's, I think when we first looked at Barkley about a month ago, the percentage of shots he had outside the box was 77, 78%.
Staggering, yeah.
But that's now dropped. It's still too high. It's still 71%.
Is it?
But
okay.
You can tell that he's having a lot more shots in the goal. It's bringing his overall average down.
Mm.
So I think that... I think that he is getting further advanced. I mean, the thing is that Delafoe just looks like the player. He looks like the guy, and he's often getting that assist, the assister kind of. You don't get any FPL points for that, but he's the guy sort of breaking open the defences, and other people are benefiting from it.
Yeah.
He actually looks like the player for me to pick if you want to get a high scoring midfielder, not Barkley. However, Barkley is in that whole position. He is Johnny on the spot, and he is getting advanced. They have a great run against pretty weak teams. You know, it's a hard call. I mean, if I had to pick one or the other, I'd pick Delafoe.
Yeah.
But, you know, Barkley's the one posting the points. So, Who's to say? It's a difficult one.
The Delafay's assist for the Lukaku, is it Lukaku goal, was really good.
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah. I was watching that match sort of bits and pieces along with the City match. And yeah, Everton looked pretty good in the second half. But Bournemouth are a good team. I quite enjoy watching Bournemouth. I think, yeah.
What a game.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. It was, incredible game. Scenes.
Just amazing. One of the best EPL games. I mean, I don't know how. But Bournemouth scored in the 98th minute. Like, how does that work?
Well, I think what happened, but there's a Barkley scored 90. It was 5 minutes in injury time. Barkley scored in the 94th minute. And then he went to celebrate. And then, like, there was about 10, 15 Everton fans. Went onto the pitch. They pitch invaded, so they stopped the game, and it took them a good 3 or 4 minutes to get the pitch invaders off the field. So, I think a goal increases injury time by 30 seconds or a minute or something, and so in addition to the minutes that they had to stop for the pitch invasion, they added another 3 or 4 minutes. So that gave Bournemouth that time to score for Stanislas to score the equaliser.
Yeah, so, that was some game. That was so exciting.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Cool. Just on that, I mean, I've just brought up a stat while we've been talking, but Barkley's shots outside the box have dropped from 78% down to 66%.
Okay.
Now, that's still pretty high. I mean, Coutinho is now down to 41%.
Yeah.
59% now inside the box.
Yeah.
So he's actually playing quite an advanced role now. Barkley's is dropping and he's getting further advanced, but it's still very high. That's over the last 4 weeks.
Okay, it's good. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so he's an interesting choice, very popular. I still have my reservations on Barkley. Shot placement. And just from the eye test looking, I don't think he's going to keep it up. But I probably have to agree that Delafeu, if I was going to get an Everton player, an Everton midfielder, I probably would get Delafeu in. He looks fantastic, very creative. Let's move on to Mesut Ozil. So this guy's getting close to essential. He gets returns every game. He doesn't look like holding up. I'm burning a trade this week to get him in. It's pretty simple for me. If you have Sanchez and you don't have Ozil, this is a no-brainer, I think.
Yeah. He leaves just about everything. Like, he's got the most key passes over the last 4 weeks. He's got the most goal attempt involvements. He's even improved his goal threat. He scored on the weekend, and he's been scoring midweek as well. He had that game where he scored one and Sanchez scored two and they assisted each other. So he's getting more advanced in the box as well. He's getting that eye for goal. I agree with you. I think he's a must-have. The only doubt I have is that Arsenal have quite a weakened team this week. It looks like they're going to have to play Campbell on one wing, Oxlade-Chamberlain on the other, Giroud up front. Ozil will be in the hole, as usual. Behind him, I'd say, would be Ramsey, will be in a pivot, and I'd say Flamini. So it's very, very different lineup. No Cazorla, who is out for 2 months, apparently, with knee ligament. No Sanchez, you reckon 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Walcott is coming back and might come off the bench. But, yeah, really, really weakened Arsenal team. So that's my only reservation with Ozil. There might be a bit of a lack of confidence in the team that runs out. Might not be as cohesive as usual, and he might not find the runners that he usually finds. So don't forget, Ozil's been looking great, but Sanchez attracts a lot of attention.
That's the thing. Yeah, I'm concerned. I still brought Ozil in. I think his ownership's too high. I think that you could also sort of look on the other flip of the coin. Sort of, Ozil will have to take more responsibility.
Yeah,
I guess, and that could consequently lead into, you know, even bigger returns for him. But yeah, I think I'm pretty concerned. I'm mostly concerned with probably Cazorla and Coughlin, but that's the engine that's gets gone. There's a whole new engine there. And yeah. I mean, Flamini is nowhere near as versatile as what Coughlin is. I mean, I think Flamini's slightly underrated, but he, you know, he's getting on. He's got no technical ability at all. He's just there to disrupt the opposition attack, whereas Coughlin brings a lot more than him. So yeah, I'm definitely concerned. I'm concerned holding Arsenal defenders as well, but we'll see. All right, so move on to Philip Coutinho. So yeah, now they're the four highest scoring midfielders, and we're going to look at some. These are some other guys that I think would be deemed decent replacements for Sanchez. So I've got Philip Coutinho, Christian Eriksen, Eden Hazard is on the list.
Yep.
David Silva and Gerard Deulofeu. Is there anyone else that you would consider a good replacement base?
Listen, the guys that I really tossed up were Hazard and Silva.
Yeah.
I'd say if you don't have KDB, he has to be in there. And Eriksen. Mm. I had Ozil, KDB, Eriksen, Silva, Deulofeu.
Yeah, so that one there.
And Hazard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the pool. That's the pool you really got to be choosing from. So we'll look at Philip Coutinho. So yeah, I think he's a great option. I mean, with the fixtures opening up, we just need to see how he fits in, or if he's fit for this weekend, and how he sort of fits in with all the personnel there. Klopp, speaking now, I don't think Klopp's conducted his press match conference yet. I'd say he might have. I'll have a look in a minute. So the thing is that people are holding off from getting rid of Sanchez for Coutinho until they know whether Coutinho is fit or not, because Coutinho didn't play in the Capital A Cup, Capital One Cup, whatever you call it these days. Yeah, he didn't play the Milk Cup. He didn't play in that cup, so they're not sure whether he's fit or not. So I'm not sure whether Klopp has stated whether he's fit or not yet. So he has great stats. He's coming into his own. I like Coutinho. I will be looking to get him in next week for Mane, actually.
Yeah, I like Coutinho as well. The only reason he's not in this list for me is because of that injury.
Yeah.
But the Liverpool just look great. We were just chatting before we did the pod, and they're down to 9-1 to win the whole league. And I think they're second behind City in terms of making the top four.
Mm.
So they've got, you know, shorter odds than United and Arsenal for making the top four at this point. So pretty amazing transformation under Klopp. He's only got that one little black mark was the loss to Crystal Palace, but they have been a bit of a bogey team for Liverpool in the last few years. Absolutely smashed Southampton. And I think he's rotating people so well. Like, everyone feels like they've got a chance and everyone's getting minutes. He's been actually helped with the Coutinho injury, so he could bring guys like Ibe in for a game. Lallana's been rotated in with the likes of Firmino. Origi scored three.
Yeah, Origi, how's that?
Southampton. Benteke's getting a run. Sturridge scored two. You know, everyone's rotating nicely. I've got no idea what he's going to do when he's got everyone at his disposal. I think he'll just keep rotating. They're in a lot of... I think he's desperate to stay alive in as many competitions as possible to keep those rotations happening. So he wants to stay alive in Europe. He wants to stay alive in the Capital One. He's made that a priority. I just love the fact that he celebrates when they win, because I think he said something like, you got to enjoy the party because you don't know when your next party's going to be. So...
Yeah.
He was just over the moon with that performance against Southampton last night or the night before. So he's a great manager. Coutinho, if you're going to go Liverpool, Coutinho is the only option I'd consider at this point, because I think he's rusted on to any lineup.
That's the problem with Firmino. Yeah, I mean, Firmino... He looks quite good. Actually, I was listening to a podcast today. There's a really good blog called Anfield...
Anfield Rap.
No, Anfield Index. And
they
incorporate analytics into their Liverpool analysis, and they recorded a pod on Liverpool's pressing stats against Swansea, and Firmino's pressing stats were out of this world. In the 60 minutes that he played, he recorded like 40 something pressing stats.
Right.
So, and that was, if you extrapolated that to like per minute, he was easily the best, the most active player in terms of pressing. So that, I thought that was pretty interesting. I'll post that pod onto the Facebook page because I found that podcast very interesting. Just a bunch of Liverpool fans. They've actually, in one of their podcasts, they had some really notable analysts like James York and the guy from 11, Tegan 11, he was on there as well. So they get some pretty big people on there on the podcast. But yeah, I'll post that one. It's a really good podcast by Liverpool.
Cool. But just back to that, Firmino is great. I loved him in the game. I love his work. However, there's 8.4 is Coutinho, 8.1 is Firmino. Yeah. For me, definitely stretch.
Oh, 8.3. I agree.
Firmino was actually quite poor against Swansea on the weekend, so sort of came crashing back down to earth. He was in a wider role.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if that really suits him, but I just think he's a little bit up and down. I think Coutinho is definitely the player to go for.
Mm. Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, stretch that 0.3, may as well get Coutinho. Like, he has the experience in there, so that always counts for something. Cool. Yeah. Move on to Eriksen. So Christian Eriksen, he's had a decent start to the season. He's a very dainty play. I think at times he just sort of really needs to take the match by the scruff, and I sort of feel he doesn't do that enough. He's a terrific differential. I know as a former owner, he's very frustrating to own. He doesn't boast really any shooting stats, but he contributes to almost everything Spurs do. He has a non-penalty shot contribution per 90 of 5.79. So that's the fifth best in the league. That's a really, really impressive stat. I was surprised a bit by this because he has next to little shot volume stats. He seems to go missing, but that's a fantastic stat overall. 5.79 shot contributions per 90, basically. So,
yeah, I reckon he's coming into it. Like, he's streaky. We've discussed him before, haven't we?
We have.
He goes on these benders. He has been. Remember, he had a really slow start. He was injured for a lot of the start of the season, and he's come back. And you know, he's whipped in a couple of assists and a couple of frees. And I think that he's looking really good now. He's always going to be in the top 10 stats wise. And you just have to pick when he's running, run is, and it just feels like he's coming good.
Yeah.
It just feels like he's getting on top of his fitness, and Tottenham are, you know, a team brimming full of confidence. Harry Kane's on fire.
Mm.
I think Eriksen, if you don't have Kane, Eriksen's fantastic cover for Tottenham.
Just the thing that worries me is that just that Bournemouth match the other week, and Spurs, did they score 4 or 5? I can't remember. And Eriksen didn't get any returns at all. So he is in a similar vein to Gerard Deulofeu, assisting the assister. Like he does a lot of work. He's always on the ball, recycles possession really well in the final third. But yeah, I can just see getting really frustrated with him. Like, you know, Tottenham are going to tear and they'll put 5 goals and he won't get anything. But yeah, that's why Harry Kane's there, I guess. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Eden Hazard. So it looks like people are looking at the fixtures and they may be thinking that he's going to keep that lone forward role, perhaps. I don't think he will. I don't think he's been playing that well. He played. I watched the Tottenham match. He played pretty well. He had a clear-cut opportunity that someone like Costa probably would have buried. So his shot stats are still weighed down from last season. I guess I'm sort of the philosophy that it's probably better to jump on a player a week too late than four, 6 weeks too early. I think there are better options. I think that David Silva's a better option. His shot contribution, so referring back to the same stat as Christian Eriksen, Eden Hazard's shot contribution this season is way down. Players like Bakary Sarko and Nathan Redmond, Yaya Toure, are doing more than him. in terms of shot contribution, which I found really interesting, and it sort of puts it all into perspective. But saying that, you know, it still wouldn't surprise me to see Hazard, you know, bring back some form these next. I think they've got really good fixtures for the next four fixtures.
Yeah, I just get the feeling, and you said a key thing there: jump on him too late, not too early. But when my head was saying go Hazard, my head was actually saying it's now time to get in Hazard as a differential to your team. But my heart just went David Silva. So, but Hazard is probably the guy. I mean, I have Ozil, so I'm taking him out of the equation. Hazard's the guy I next want in my team. So yeah. I want to find a way to upgrade Mane to Hazard over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I just think that he is getting back to form. There's a couple of things are pointing to this, but he did 2.66 key passes in that fantastic season he had last year per game, and currently in the last 2 weeks he's done over 3 key passes.
Mm.
He's doing 30 passes in the final third in 2014. He's doing almost 40 in the last 2 weeks. He's doing 6 attempted dribbles. He's dribbling a lot more in the last 2 weeks than he has in the first 11 weeks. Mm. And he's doing 4.3 successful dribbles. This compares to 2.8 in the first 11 weeks. And it's up there with what he did 2 years ago. All the stats are pointing to him getting far more involved, confidence levels up. I know he plays as a false nine and had a couple of shots against Tottenham, as you said, that perhaps Costa could have done a little bit better with. I think Costa will be back. He's just been in the naughty corner for a week.
Yeah.
He'll be back. Hazard, it'll be service as normal. Hazard will go onto the wing. I think Chelsea are looking good defensively. They're getting their confidence back up, and so is Eden Hazard. And I think now is the time to get Hazard in.
Mm, interesting. So you're pro Hazard.
He's my next target.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if Chelsea don't do well, he won't do well.
No.
But as you said, those the distribution stats are sort of getting back up there. Yeah. If Chelsea don't perform, he doesn't perform. I just think they're a pretty broken camp at the moment.
Look at their run though as well.
Yeah, I know it is good. Yeah, we'll have to see for this one. This will be interesting. We'll have to see. All right, so moving on to David Silva. So this is the guy they ended up bringing in. Yep, he's a great pick. If you haven't got KDB and you want to go a differential, then go for it. So and it looks like he's going to play this weekend. So you will be going for him as a differential to KDB. So that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could not put my tail between my legs and bring KDB in.
It's tough.
After all the pain I went through in getting rid of him, I just can't do it. So Silva's a great alternative. Good timing.
Yeah, I agree.
I can almost look at it strategically, you know.
There we go. All right, cool, guys. So that's going to wrap up the show for today. I have a short show today. We didn't sort of go through the normal structure, but so I hope you enjoyed the show. That's me, Willie. I'm gone. Thanks for that, Bakes.
No worries, mate. Till next week.
See you next
week. Good luck on the weekend.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Cheers, buddy.